You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com. As you know, we are available everywhere you go to get your podcasts. We are a proud affiliate of the Buffalo Rumblings podcast channel, which of course you can go and download. If you haven't downloaded our podcast already, what the heck are you doing? We've only been on this for about a year and a half. My colleague, Jamie D'Amico, joining us here. I am John Boccasino. And, Jamie, I know you're definitely an avid subscriber to our podcast, being one of the key cogs that gets this podcast off the ground each week.
I appreciate that. Yes, I'm out listening to Breaking Buffalo Rumblings and the Nick and Nolan Show and all the good stuff that we got out there. Really, you've got to listen to Nick and Nolan if you're not doing it already.
Oh, absolutely. A tip of the hat to those guys. You know, they're, and you can tell that there's a lot of these podcasts, people, one of the criticisms I hear, and I want to address it real quick with our podcast network, is one of the criticisms I hear is that it's the same content produced by different voices. And let me tell you, no, it is not. You know, we might, if there's, of course, on roster cutdown day, we're all going to talk about the surprise cuts and who made the team that we might not have expected. But for the most part, none of us actually talk to each other on the podcast network here with Buffalo Rumblings outside of the obligatory conversations where, you know, we might have some fun doing, different predictions for the week or the season. But we all do our own thing independently. We do our own research and then we all come together and talk about the Buffalo Bills. So listen, subscribe to the whole network of podcasts, Buffalo Rumblings podcast channel on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Megaphone, you name it, everywhere you go to get your podcasts, search for Buffalo Rumblings Podcasts, and we appreciate the loyal support of our listeners out there. Again, please make sure that you download and subscribe to our podcast. That's the best way to make sure you know when our podcasts will be dropping. During the regular season, Jamie, we will be bringing you podcasts twice a week. Fridays will be our preview edition coming up for the weekend, unless, of course, we're talking about the Thanksgiving game, in which that case, a preview would be kind of ridiculous for a game that took place on Thursday. So we'll deal with that one when the schedule works itself out. And then, of course, you can stay tuned to the recap podcast coming up on the Monday following the game. And we are very excited, Jamie, to finally have football that counts. That counts in the standings, that counts towards a playoff chase. And you know what? I'm stoked that the Buffalo Bills are opening with the New York Jets, because to me, there's nothing better in football than watching two budding superstar quarterbacks grow and develop and lead their teams into battle. And of course, you know, we want Josh Allen to see what he can do in his second year. The Jets fans are very excited about Sam Darnold. Both of these were top 10 quarterback selections last year, top 10 first round picks. And for the second time in their young rivalry, these two teams will be squaring off, led by Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. It's really exciting to see a budding quarterback rivalry taken off.
Budding superstars? Wow. I didn't think you were going to go there, Matt, because, you know, there's certainly questions about these guys, but that's kind of what's making it kind of fun. It's going to be interesting because the Jets coming in here with Adam Gase, who has been very successful with quarterbacks in the past. He got the best out of, well, he got some good things out of Ryan Tannehill. He definitely looked good when he was helping Peyton Manning change into more of a game manager, but his offense is solid. He is well respected around the league offensively. I am curious how the Bills coaching staff is going to X and O against the Jets offense. We know that they've got a great running back situation. They have some very good receivers. Their offensive line is terrible, though. So it's this team, and I have a question for you here. When it comes to overall Jets talent, it seems like they've got some blue chippers on that team. Jamal Adams, Le'Veon Bell. But on the other end, they seem to really have a dearth of talent at some places. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Jets, one of the things, and I want to real quick go back to the budding superstar comment. It's all wishful thinking on my end of it, because, you know, for the last 16 years, you know, we've seen Tom Brady run roughshod over this division. And, you know, it was inspirational to last year, even though the Bills lost the game at New Era Field, watching Darnold and Allen lead their respective squads. You know, I think it's going to be the potential makings of a pretty cool quarterback rivalry in division. You know, how often do you find it where within the same division, two teams take a top 10 quarterback? And I know it's happened before, but with the Buffalo Bills, it hasn't happened in quite some time. That, in fact, Josh Allen was the highest pick that Buffalo has ever spent, you know, on a quarterback. And and with Sam Darnold, you know, picking him number 3 overall, there's a lot of expectations. So I just color me excited to see this rivalry kind of continue to take off. And I know that Sam Darnold got the better of the matchup the first time that they squared off at home. The Bills blew a fourth quarter lead. On Sunday, I'm looking forward just to seeing, you know, these two teams quarterbacked by these young rookies, young second year starters rather, in action. And to get to your talent level question, Jamie, I feel like the Jets for a while, you know, could be viewed as a dumpster fire, at least during the off season. There were a lot of things that were happening where, you know, the general manager got canned, and they bring in a new coach, Adam Gase, who himself is a personality and a character who, you know, is a supposed quarterback whisperer that really didn't have that success on a wide scale with Ryan Tannehill in Miami. Tannehill was good for spurts, but then he was injured and he was erratic. Although anybody that can get Ryan Fitzpatrick to have an MVP first month of the season like Gase did last year, you know, deserves a little bit of credit for directing this offense. I think the Jets are going to be better than people expect them to be. I think that the Bills and Jets are clearly the two teams that are head and shoulders above the Dolphins in the division. I despise the Patriots, but they're favorites for a reason to win this division. I think the Bills and Jets are going to be right there with them. I think both of these teams are going to play, you know, well enough this year where that Week 17 matchup at New Era Field is going to have playoff implications on it, with the winner getting into the playoffs. That's my bold prediction. We talked about it during the season prediction that we did during the preseason. And I think the Jets have enough talent, especially when you factor in, you know, Quinnen Williams, you know, getting drafted. I believe he was drafted number 3 last year. I think the Jets taking Quinnen Williams directly opened the door for the Bills to get Ed Oliver, because I could have seen the Jets taking Ed Oliver number 3. It's a great consolation prize for the Bills to get Oliver instead of Quinnen Williams. But I think there's plenty of talent on this Jets roster. And you go to CJ Mosley, the talented linebacker, Le'Veon Bell, you know, he is worth the contract that the Jets offered him. And, you know, obviously the Jets are going to still have talent on the defensive line, you know, where they're going to get after the quarterback. That to me actually is one of the biggest concerns, Jamie, heading into this game, is just how well the Bills offensive line will hold up against those big bodies that the Jets have on their front four.
It's interesting because while they have some good stout defensive linemen, they've got guys that are really strong against the run. Quinnen Williams is not listed as a starter, but you know that he's going to get more than his share of snaps going in, because he's done some very good things in the preseason. But you know, Leonard Williams, he was a high draft pick a couple of years ago, hasn't quite lived up to the hype that's there. But Stephen McClendon is a pro's pro at the nose tackle. Henry Anderson is a tough guy on the other defensive end. And, you know, they're not so much pass rushers. And what you don't see on that team is the edge rushers that's real dominant. But our old friend Greg Williams is now the defensive coordinator over there, and he makes up for lack of pass rushing prowess with numbers. I mean, they're going to blitz like crazy. So, you know, if they're sending six guys on every play, which is not unusual for Greg Williams to do, that's going to really be a challenge for a young quarterback like Josh Allen to pay attention to. I have no doubt that there's going to be a lot of zone blitzing going on, and Allen is going to need to make his decisions very quickly. He needs to know where his outlet receivers are, and holding the ball is just not going to be an option. He's got to do it with his arm. He's going to have to get rid of the ball because, you know, these guys are going to pin their ears back and come chasing the quarterback from every corner of the field.
Yeah, you're right. Greg Williams has definitely been a very blitz-heavy coach, and I think one of the strategies the Bills can employ to counter this would be, you'll see a lot of three wide receiver sets, which will open up things for, you know, Cole Beasley as a security blanket over the middle of the field for Josh Allen. You know, maybe they take a deep shot or two with John Brown seeing to open up and take the top off of the defense with a deep ball. You know, maybe you'll see a combination of some trick plays out there, but it doesn't matter what schemes the Bills run if Josh Allen is running for his life back there. And that's what I think it all comes back to. We talk about the Jets defense, the front four, you know, their stoutness of that unit. And you mentioned Steve McClendon. He's a veteran who is incredibly talented for the Jets. He's over 300 pounds. He's a huge run stuffer. He's somebody that is going to be a really important player to keep an eye on. Leonard Williams, of course, is somebody who is incredibly talented as well. The fact that he was a number 6 overall pick, he's somebody who can just really get after it with the athleticism. He's excellent at that pass rushing ability and blowing past his interior linemen. Well, Quentin Spain draws that tough assignment of having to match up against Williams. And depending on the health of Spain after the injury that he suffered during the preseason, if he's not quite at 100%, I could see Leonard Williams really making life miserable, you know, for the Buffalo Bills and the offensive line back there. And then I think another key too is going to be Mitch Morse, the center, who is finally back to practice after escaping out of the concussion protocol. I think he really is going to be the key to this whole operation, not just because he's a center who starts every single play, but his ability to go and contain McClendon is going to go a long way towards determining how successful the Bills are on offense, because it all starts up front.
You make a great point bringing up Mitch Morse, because he's also going to help Josh Allen with the blocking schemes, help Josh Allen figure out what's coming at him, because we know that what is going to happen with Josh Allen week in and week out is the defensive coordinators are going to try to confuse him. And, you know, when it comes to coverages, well, that's not so much something that the center is going to help out with. But as for who's blitzing, especially this week with a blitz-heavy team, that's going to be absolutely clutch. I'm glad to have him back. There's always that issue of wondering whether or not the offensive line is going to gel. And him missing the entire preseason doesn't help toward that end. But, you know, it could take half a season for a line to start coming together, and you hope that you're injury free. But by halfway through the season, what line isn't playing with a bunch of injuries and doesn't have some of the backups coming in? Luckily, this year I feel a heck of a lot better than I did last year when it came to the depth that they had, or the lack thereof, we should say. I mean, some of the guys that were starting for the Bills, Jordan Mills, for example, don't even have a job in the NFL anymore. So we've come a long way. So let's see what these guys can do against a tough front against the Jets.
Yeah, this is one of those right away scenarios. The Bills are going to see a lot about what their investment on the offensive line, what kind of dividends that's going to pay off, because 4 of the 5 projected starters, just going off of the Bills official depth chart, 4 of the official 5 starters on the line will be making their first meaningful action in a Bills uniform on Sunday when the Bills travel to MetLife Stadium to take on the Jets. Those 4, of course, being Mitch Morse at center, Quentin Spain, Cody Ford at right tackle, and potentially John Feliciano at right guard. That hasn't officially been confirmed that Feliciano will be the starter, but again, the depth chart, a lot can be made for what you see on there as far as who will be end up the starter. And that leaves Deion Dawkins, the left tackle, as the only incumbent who is back for this offensive line that has ever played a meaningful snap in a Bills uniform. That puts a lot of pressure again on this unit to come together. And I want to highlight, Jamie, just sticking on the line for one more question here, Cody Ford. The news has come out that Cody Ford, the Bills' second-round draft pick out of Oklahoma, appears to be the starter at the right tackle position. He experimented a little bit at right guard during training camp as well, but the Bills apparently deemed his play in the preseason to be worthy enough to start at the right tackle spot, with veteran Ty Inshecky starting behind him on the depth chart. I kind of thought Inshecky would have been the starter just by default, but Ford has had a really good preseason and training camp. What do you make of the youngster getting a chance in Cody Ford to cut his teeth, you know, right away from day one?
I have a couple of thoughts on that. I thought that Inshecky was probably better through the summer than Cody Ford, but in the grand scheme of things, I think that there might be a couple of reasons that Cody Ford is starting. Number one, they may be looking a year or two down the road. And how will this be for Cody Ford's development? Having him on the field is obviously preferable to having him on the bench, even if he's not the best player. The other thing is, Inshecky is in his mid-30s. Perhaps they're concerned that he can't hold up physically for 16 games. Also, he has the ability to play both sides. I don't think that Cody Ford has it in him to be a left tackle in the NFL. He doesn't seem to have the foot speed. Now, even though that's what he played in college, it's a different game when you get to the pros. I think they didn't put him at guard because, more than anything, they have a ton of depth on the inside now, whether it be Spencer Long or like Betker is still there. You know, those are guys that can step in at any moment and probably get the job done. The lack of talent on the offensive line seems to be at swing tackle right now. And that's why a guy as good as he is, that's why Inshecky, I think, isn't starting.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Now, when it comes to, of course, once Josh Allen has had some time, he's not going to have a familiar face in LeSean McCoy to hand the ball off to or throw the ball to out of the backfield. Devin Singletary, the third round pick out of Florida Atlantic, and Frank Gore, along with TJ Yeldon, the free agent signee, are expected to handle the bulk of the running back duties. We've already mentioned that the wide receiving core has been bolstered, of course, with John Brown and Cole Beasley. But with Josh Allen under center against a blitz-heavy scheme that Greg Williams is going to bring, and even though the Jets and Greg traditionally have been a 3-4 defense, it's more expected to be a 4-3 front that the Bills are going to face on Sunday. Where do you think Josh can thrive and excel when it comes to the offense on Sunday?
I think he's going to need to see the short passing window open. We know he's got the big arm. We know he likes to try to go downfield. But I think that he's going to need to have some quick chemistry with Cole Beasley. Like I said, the outlet passes, the quick crossing patterns, is running backs getting out, either if they're not picking up blitzes, sneaking out and getting open, and Allen's going to need to see them. Now, something that's interesting is is really has to do with the Jets' pass defense. Their corners are not real good. How do you feel about the Bills matchups, the receiver matchups against the corners of the Jets?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see. We saw a little bit from Brian Daboll, especially in the first two preseason games where he really opened up the offense and took some shots downfield. We know that Josh Allen has a prolific arm that can really, you know, fire the ball downfield to his threats. I think it's going to be important for whatever the pecking order is of wide receivers, but if John Brown can get into a rhythm and catch a ball or two early in the first quarter and establish that he and Josh Allen are on the same page with the passing game, I think that's going to do wonders for this offense. There are shots to be taken and there are advantages to be made against the Jets secondary. And I feel like the Bills can exploit that. Now, the one area where they're going to struggle, and this is why I was really hoping that Duke Williams was going to make the 53-man roster, is the Bills don't have that game-changing, separation-seeking wide receiver who can go out there and get away from a pesky corner and earn some separation to make a big catch. But I feel if Josh Allen is accurate and puts the ball where he needs to, whether it's John Brown, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster, Zay Jones, you know, whoever is the receiver coming up with a big pass, the Bills do again have the ability to make some big plays with the passing game. I think another area to really look into is seeing how well maybe the Bills throw conventional wisdom out the window, and maybe they, when they're three wide receiver sets, maybe you see some snaps with both Devin Singletary and TJ Yeldon in the backfield, two guys who are very capable of catching the ball out of the backfield as well as running with it. I know they're two undersized backs, but what do you think of that as a strategy to try to counter some of the blitz if the Bills come with a speedy two back set every now and then?
It's an interesting thought, and TJ Yeldon is actually a fairly skilled blocker when it comes to picking up blitzes. I don't know enough about Singletary to know how skilled he is at doing that. But, you know, if you have the two backs in the game, it won't necessarily be a run like Patrick DeMarco style. If he's in the game, you know, chances are that the Bills are going to try to run it between the tackles. It could be an interesting wrinkle for sure. So speaking of that passing game, I was curious about your thoughts when we flip it around and we talk about Sam Darnold and those quick receivers that the Jets have against the Bills defense. How do you see that shaping up?
Yeah, I think that the Bills, especially when it comes to Sam Darnold, you know, they're going to want to do a lot of things that the Jets are going to try to do to Josh Allen, confuse him and confound him with some blitz packages. I think that if Jerry Hughes can get off of the offensive line, get off of his assignment and really make some penetration and get in the backfield, that's going to make a big difference to making Sam Darnold feel uncomfortable, because when Darnold engineered the fourth quarter comeback last year at New Era Field, he was mostly untouched by that front four of Buffalo in the victory in week 13. And that to me is the key, because Darnold is still early in his development, but with pressure and with confusing looks out there, you can get after him and force him into some mistakes out there. And the Jets receivers, you know, Robbie Anderson is a decent receiver. He's somebody that I think has some talent out there to him. But the rest of this receiver core, you know, Jamison Crowder was very inconsistent when it came to being with the Washington Redskins, somebody who could have a two touchdown, 120 yard receiving effort, or he might catch one pass for 5 yards. What we've seen out of the preseason, Trey White's going to lock down Robbie Anderson or Jamison Crowder or whoever he's matched up against on the Jets roster. And I have no concerns on that end of it. The other side of it, I really want to see, you know, what happens, whether, you know, Levi Wallace is able to step up, or Kevin Johnson, or whoever draws that number two starting role at the cornerback position out there on the outside opposite Trey White, is definitely going to get tested by Darnold. How about you?
You know, I actually have a different take here, which is I'm concerned about Robbie Anderson. He is a really fast, take the top off the defense type of receiver. And we're starting to see that Trey White doesn't have a good day when he's going up against these speed merchants. We definitely saw that the week of practice in Carolina during the preseason. The story of the week was him getting burned deep. And I think that Robbie Anderson could end up being a difference maker if the Jets' offensive line holds up through this game. And that's going to be the key because their offensive line is not very good. They brought in Ryan Khalil, who had basically retired at the end of last season. He's a center, played last year for the Carolina Panthers, and he was not good last year. It looks like his best days are way behind him, and that bodes well for the interior pass rushers of the Bills, for sure. But, yeah, like I said, if they can somehow make sure that Anderson doesn't get behind the defense, I like how it looks. I think that the most difficult matchup outside of that is going to be Le'Veon Bell catching the ball out of the backfield. He's a matchup nightmare. Now, Matt Milano will probably be the guy who's tasked to run with him a little bit, as will Jordan Poyer. But that's a little bit of a, well, actually it's quite a bit of a mismatch because he should be faster than a linebacker and he's bigger than a safety. So where does that take us? Well, he's a heck of a back. It'd be interesting to see if he lost anything in that year that he sat out.
Yeah, that's one thing. Milano had made pretty good strides in getting better at being a pass cover linebacker who sticks with the opposing running backs. But, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, who we haven't even talked about yet, who was the youngest player in the league last year, he made great strides too, I feel, in his pass coverage abilities over the second half of his rookie season. And, you know, Le'Veon Bell, listen, Le'Veon Bell's an incredibly talented back. I saw somewhere that one of the talking heads, I think it was Nate Burleson, predicted a 3-touchdown effort for Le'Veon Bell in week one against the Bills. I don't see it happening. If Le'Veon Bell takes 3 1-yard touchdown plunges, then that's how he gets 3 touchdowns against the Bills. I don't see him breaking off a 70-yard run and a 30-yard run, and he's explosive. But the Bills, you know, I think that they know the stigma against them. They know that they were not good as they could have been in run defense last year. And so I think that there's been some progress that's been made to kind of bolster that unit. But I don't know. I don't see Le'Veon Bell. I see him having an average game. You know, he probably might get 80 yards on the ground, but I see that not being a difference maker. And if I think Sam Darnold's the one who's going to win this game for the Jets more so than Le'Veon Bell.
You know, it comes down to the quarterbacks, doesn't it? Did Darnold improve over the offseason? You know, he had his moments last year and he was a little bit better than Josh Allen was. We've talked about this in the past, but that was to be expected. Josh Allen is not only is he a late bloomer just physically, but he didn't have the benefit of a big time program at Wyoming, the same sort of advantage that Darnold would have had at USC. Which one is going to be better? Which one is going to be less confused by the blitz, and which one is going to hit his receivers when they're open? Kind of comes down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, exactly. It's decision-making, it's calm and being poised when the pressure in the pocket is collapsing all around you. And I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a good segue, Jamie, for us to go into our predictions bound to go wrong for the season opener of the 2019 campaign here. You know, we didn't actually track the success rate last year of Anthony Marino and myself in picking these games versus the actual outcome, but we've given our fans, we feel, a pretty good breakdown so far of the Bills and the Jets, who of course will be meeting up on Sunday. It's the 118th all-time meeting between these two teams. They split last year. Who would have thought before the season started that Matt Barkley would actually earn a win at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills? Well, he directed the offense to that 41-10 trouncing at MetLife Stadium. And then, of course, Sam Darnold got the fourth quarter comeback against Josh Allen in week 13. 27-23 was our score. So, Jamie, we've laid all this out there. We've had some fun breaking down the Bills and the Jets and where we think the differences might lie in this game. Give us your score prediction and maybe some rationale behind it.
All right. And I know that people are going to be blowing up my Twitter over this. And hey, feel free to do that. I'm cool. I think that you're going to end up seeing the Jets win 20-16. I think that it's going to come down to late in the game, and I think the Bills are going to have a chance in this one. Hauschka is not going to miss any field goals. We can put that concern behind us. I think the Bills are going to have a chance late. I think that maybe there's going to be some lessons learned when it comes to Josh Allen handling a blitz-heavy package like they're going to see against a Greg Williams defense, but I don't think they're going to pull it off.
Well, if you want to blow up Jamie's Twitter, it's at the Jamie D'Amico. For our Twitter fans out there, of course, you can follow myself at John Boccacino, B-O-C-C-A-C-I-N-O. And if you want to come at me with my prediction here, I said it from the get-go, and I will say it now. I still feel the Bills are the better team on paper. Having the home field advantage, they say, is worth 3 points in the NFL. And the Jets, I'm sure, want to come out with something to prove because they've had a really rough off season. They did make some good signings, I feel like, in free agency. But I feel like the Bills made a lot of under-the-radar signings. You know, Mitch Morse got all the attention for being the highest-paid center, although he, of course, was recently surpassed for that honor. I feel like Buffalo has done a great job addressing their weaknesses from last year heading into this season. I will say the Buffalo Bills win the first game of the two-game New Jersey swing 23-17, and Western New York and Bills Mafia can celebrate a win, and of course they will be staying in MetLife Stadium for week two, which will be our preview for next week, talking about the New York Giants game in week two, of course, of the National Football League season out here. But Jamie has them losing. I have them winning. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter and give us your real-time reaction Sunday at 4:30 to see who's one of us is bound to be right, Jamie.
Yeah, score and everything.
I like it. I honestly don't see this game being a blowout or a track meet. I think both the defenses are too solid. Robbie Anderson, upon further reflection, I was Googling some of his stats while you were giving a little breakdown out there. He is a really talented wide receiver. We haven't even gotten into Quincy Anunwa, who as well is a very talented receiver. So the Jets do have some underrated playmakers. I guess I'm just giving the Bills secondary more credit for what they can do. And, you know, Trey White, I think he learned some lessons. I look at what happened with the Lions game last year, where a fellow speedster in Kenny Golladay had a field day for the part of the first half, and then adjustments were made and Trey White slowed him down, I thought, pretty well in the second half and took away those options. I'm hoping that that happens on Sunday as well.
You know, this is just a generally an interesting matchup to me. And you can tell that Vegas doesn't know enough about either team to really make a call on it, which is why it's only a 3-point game right now, according to their odds. But you know, they're teams that are young, they are changing. Nobody knows what to make of the Jets after putting in a new coaching staff there. But the interesting thing to me is the difference in the roster construction. You know, you have more of those blue chip players on the Jets, that the high end talents, as I mentioned, Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell, whereas Buffalo has more of your lunch pail guys that don't have quite the high end performance yet. And it's going to be interesting to see how these two end up matching up on the field. They're two different ways of constructing a roster. I like the way the Bills are doing it, but we'll see. Are guys like Tremaine Edmonds going to take that huge step forward and become a star in this league? It's going to be fun to watch.
Sunday at 1 p.m., the Bills season kicks off in earnest, taking on the New York Jets down in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. The first of course, two games for the Bills down in Jersey. You can, of course, come back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast, to hear the recap of how Buffalo fared in its season opener, of course, with myself, John Boccacino, and Jamie D'Amico. We want to thank you for taking the time to find us here on your family of podcasts here on the Buffalo Rumblings channel. For my esteemed colleague Jamie D'Amico, I'm John Boccacino signing off. We'll see you after the Bills and Jets square off in week one.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, Claude, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.